Life and living in 2017. Well, I'm sure you are all familiar with the concept of the water filter. It's really easy. You pour the polluted or tainted water into the filter and it removes, it cleanses, takes away the impurities, takes away the additives, takes away the minerals that we say hardens the water, makes the water soft. Does all of this, restoring the water back to its clean, refreshing, drinkable, enjoyable, healthy state. And you see these advertisements, you know, this one's better than this one, and this one removes, and this one has more filters than this one, and on and on and on. But you see we all understand the concept. Well, that's very much the same as the Word of God as it applies to our lives. We tend to collect impurities in our lives. We tend to collect additives in our lives. We tend to collect things in our hearts and souls and in our lives that tend to harden us, to harden our hearts and our love for the Lord and our lives for the Lord. The Word of God is very much a God-breathed, God-given, divine filter. And as we pour our lives into the Word of God, and as the Word of God is poured into our lives, it cleanses, it restores, it renews, it refreshens. It works on those impurities, those sins that have collected. It works on those additives, the things that we have brought into our lives and made more important than they are, or tried to replace Christ and the gospel, the Lord, with other things. It works on those additives. It works on those spiritual calluses that we've built through trials or suffering or challenges throughout this past year. By the grace of God, we have survived and persevered through 2016. We are now in 2017, but probably not without some scars, probably not without some trials, probably not without some things that are still clinging to us, things that we're still holding on to. Ways in which we need to be refreshed in our faith, strengthened in our faith, healthy in our love and zeal and passion for the Lord. And that's exactly what the Word of God does in our life. It cleanses. It cleanses. It reshapes. It molds. It convicts. It strengthens. I would say if I knew, if someone were to tell me, or if in some way I knew without a doubt, I only had one more sermon to preach in this life, I would preach it on the Word of God. I would preach a message on treasuring and upholding, embracing, believing, diving into, internalizing, applying the Word of God. Because everything else flows from it. Every single thing we need to know about life, every single thing we need to know about salvation, every single thing we need to stand on and cling to and hold dear in 2017 and on in as many days as the Lord may grant us is in the Word of God. And so if there was one last final thing that I would say, give yourselves to the Word. And give room and allow the Word to make its way and make its home and make its good applications in your lives and in our hearts as we go into this new year. Well, there's kind of two big points that I want us to see in these verses. And I just want to kind of make some just practical observations from these passages for us as we think about the importance and the grace, the benefit of the Word of God in our lives for this year. The first of all is just to see that the Scripture, the Bible, is the Word of life. God's Word is the Word of life. And I'm gleaning that from verses 41 and verse 43. And what I mean by the Word of God is the Word of life is I mean that those things that matter the most in this life, those things that matter the most for this life, those things that mean the most in the world and in the universe and in eternity, those things are found in the Word of God. They are not to be found in the world. Even though sometimes we desperately look for them in the world, they are not to be found in ourselves, even though sometimes we are misdirected, misinformed, misguided, and we're looking for those things within our own selves. They're not to be found in another person, even though sometimes we are off track and lose perspective and are trying to glean those items from another person. But just because those things are not to be found in the world and in ourselves and in someone else, that does not mean they're not to be found. They are to be found, but there's a place for them to be found, and that's the Word of God. The Word of God is literally a treasure chest that holds for us, keeps for us the greatest things in life. And as we unfold it and as we dig into it and as we hide it in our hearts, those treasures are uncovered and unveiled and revealed. There are four things that I see in verses 41 and 43 are the things that matter the most to us and things that every human heart, every human soul longs for and desires. The first thing you see is steadfast love. Let your steadfast love. So there's this steadfast love that belongs to the Lord, that is given from the Lord. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord. Your steadfast love. Well, love is something for which every human desires, seeks, longs for. To love, to be loved. Unfortunately, sometimes we are misguided in our wrong understandings of what love is. Tragically, sometimes we are misinformed of false notions of what love is. We glean our information from what either we're thinking or feeling or from what others are saying, instead of understanding what love is from the source of love, from love itself, the Lord. So oftentimes what we think is love and what we call love, and when we say we think we have found love, we've only found an imposter. And sometimes the thing that we say is love and will make us happy in the end is destructive and leaves us empty because it's not love. But the Scripture says here that the Lord has steadfast love. Steadfast love, a love that never ends, that a love that completes and fulfills, a love that never leaves one lacking. And it's the same unbounded, certain, present love day after day after day after day. It's the love of God found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. He says, let your steadfast love come to me, your salvation. That's the second thing, salvation. We all desire love and we all desire salvation. However we might think of salvation or define salvation, we're looking for salvation. When there's only one true understanding and meaning of salvation, we know that something is not right with us and with everything around us. Something is out of sync. Now, we naturally tend to think everyone else is out of sync. And if they'd get on board with me, everything would line up correctly. But we know something's wrong and we're seeking for that void to be complete. We're seeking for salvation. Sometimes we just don't realize that's what we're seeking. And that's when we obtain this goal that's going to make us happy and it doesn't, it confuses us. So we obtain another goal. Or more friends, or more money, or more possessions, or more sex, or more whatever. And we're seeking salvation. Satisfying this longing in our souls. We either try to save ourselves when we understand, oh, it's salvation that we need. We might try to save ourselves by adding up our good works and proving to God that we're not as bad as everyone around us. So he'll give us a slide when we stand before him. Or we invent our own religion. And if we can invent and create our own religion, our own philosophy, our own thought of the world, of God, of eternity, of the afterlife, if we come up with our own, then we can master it. If it's just 5 steps, we can do it. So we try to find salvation by creating our own, or supposedly finding salvation by freeing ourselves totally from religion, and we call that liberation, which is salvation from all this religion. But none of those attempts succeed. Because the soul was created for God. Without Christ, it remains empty. And at enmity with God, it remains out of sync, incorrect, corrupted, not right. But the Bible says here that there is a salvation from the Lord. It's His salvation that He gives. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation. And there's a couple of more in verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. There's truth. We absolutely need truth, and we absolutely need absolute truth. Now, we deny it in this age. Truth is all relevant. It's according to your perspective, your version. It's what you make of it. It's what you think of it. We all say that. It sounds so wonderful in theory, but we don't live our lives that way. We live our lives day to day and we operate that there are, in truth, in actuality, absolute truths and norms that we depend on to exist. We depend on mathematics to be an absolute truth. You say, well, that's one theory, Pastor Will. Well, just check this out. Go to your bank with your checking account and say, ma'am, I have, according to my records, $1,000 in my checking account. And she says, well, that's your version of it. We don't read it the same way. We have a different understanding of that one and those zeros. We depend on absolute truths in geography, in history. That's why we don't like revisionist history. We depend on absolute truths in every area of life. We depend on absolute truths in the rule of law. Guilty, not guilty, is depending on absolute truths. Spiritual truth is no different. Either Jesus Christ is Lord or He's not. We are absolutely dependent upon absolute truths. One thing is for sure. The truth of that statement, Jesus Christ is Lord, is not up for perspective. The Bible says that it is the word of truth. And we need it. The second thing in that verse, it says, for my hope. What a despairing situation it is when you see someone or when you are in a situation in which you observe or you feel a sense of hopelessness. I never will forget being in the first time I went overseas and I was in Eastern Europe and no one smiled. No one smiled. And we asked the missionary, what's going on? And he said, they have no hope. They have no hope. We need hope. Hope is that something that we are living for. Even as believers, we have a blessed hope. We talked about last week that we're waiting for. It's what gives meaning to our lives. It's what gives shape to our purpose and existence. And the Bible says there is hope to be found. And so here are four longings of the soul, of every soul: love, salvation, truth, hope. Now notice with me. Notice with me where each and every one of these are to be found. Look what the scripture says in verses 41 and 43. Verse 41, let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. According to your promise. Where is His promises? In His word. Verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules, in your revealed will, in your word. That's where my hope is found. In your promises, in your rules, in your word. The more we are exposed to the greatness of God, the glory of Christ, the richness of the gospel, as God has revealed and shown in His word, the more God's divine filter refreshes and renews and restores and strengthens our faith. And not just our faith, but it transforms our lives. And that's really the second point of the sermon today, living in the Word. The Word of life. And then living in the Word. We find the things that matter the most in the Word. It is the Word of life to us. And as we find those things, as we dwell in the Word and begin to love and cherish and stand and cling to the Word begins to settle in our hearts, to filter down into our lives and transform us to live our lives according to the Word. Now, I see in verse 42 and verses 44 through 48, four life-changing, life-giving effects of the Word in our lives. Look at verse 42. Then, you see that connection, then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your Word. And so the first thing that I see in this, in these verses is a readiness to rightly respond, a readiness and a being equipped to have an answer, to be able to rightly respond to challenges of our faith. A readiness to rightly respond to challenges of our faith. Now, we can be sure, we can't be sure of a lot of things in 2017, but we can be sure of some things. And here is one thing for which we can be sure. Whether it be genuine inquiries of people asking us about our faith, genuinely wanting to hear more and know more about our faith, or whether it be spiteful rebuttals of our faith as being dogmatic or hateful or old-fashioned or whatever it may be. Or whether it just be the day-to-day confrontation of living in a world that does not embrace God and the gospel. We can be sure, absolutely sure, that at some point in this new year, we will be questioned, we will be challenged, we may even, as the psalmist here, be taunted about our faith. The question is, will we be ready? Will we be equipped? Will we have an answer, a right answer, a wise answer, a gospel answer? Notice how the psalmist is ready. Notice what he's depending on and what gives him the assurance that he's going to be ready with an answer. He says, then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. He's not working on his oratory skills. He's not working on his debate, argumentative skills. He's just sinking into the Word. And as he knows more of the Word, he has more of the Word available to share, to respond, to answer with. Well, what's he answering with? He's answering with love, salvation, truth, hope. Those things that are only found in the Word. A ready answer. Boy, I don't know about you, but I need that. I need a ready answer. You know when I come up with the best answers? The next day. The next day. Some of you have come to me over the years and asked me questions, and I've mumbled through something. Call me the next day. And I say, oh, I thought of this. I mean, my Monday morning sermons are much better than my Sunday morning sermon. It's better later. I'm not an off-the-cuff guy. I pray about that. I actually pray about that. I call it holy wit. Spurgeon was a master at it. Immediately when someone said something, he had a response. Immediately. A ready answer. A second thing in verses 44 and 45, a happy, contented holiness of life. A happy, contented holiness of life. Look at verse 44. I will keep your law continually. There's the holiness. Forever and ever. There's for the life. And I shall walk in a wide place. There's the happiness and the contentment, for I have sought your precepts. Some of the most miserable people on the earth are people who adhere to a legalistic form of Christianity. Every bit of their holiness is wrapped up in a checklist or in at least being better than you are at it. In trying to achieve that. Or in just striving and striving and striving. But here's a picture of a happy, contented person who is holy, who is desiring and committed to keeping the law of the Lord continually. Notice how the psalmist is unswerving in his commitment to consistent holiness. And yet this holiness does not make him rigid, does not make him stale, does not make him unhappy, does not make him holier than thou. Notice where it is centered and rooted. Where does this come from? The last part of verse 45. For I have sought your precepts. I've been seeking your word. That's where my longing is. That's where my grounding is. And up from that grounding and seeking springs forth this life that desires to adhere to your law continually and does so in a way that's my happiness. That's my contentedness in this life. I'm not living in comparison to the person next to me. I'm not living in comparison to some standard that I've created or someone else has created. I'm just rooting my life in your word, and out of it is springing a happy holiness as I live for your glory. The third thing I see is verses 46 and 47. I will also speak. I will speak. I will speak up. I will open my mouth. I will say something. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings. And shall not be put to shame. The third thing I see here is a bold, courageous witness for Christ. Boy, if there's one thing I desire for myself, if there's one thing I desire for you, is that we might be bold, courageous witnesses for Christ in this year. Taking the gospel, sharing the gospel intentionally, purposefully, lovingly, firmly. You see what he says? I will speak of your testimonies before kings. I will not be put to shame. Now, did you notice what drives this psalmist's courageous witness? What drives him to be faithful and to not be put to shame, even if he is sharing the testimonies of the Lord, which are of his Son and of the gospel, by the way. Verse 47. For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. There it is. There's the key. My delight is in your word. Therefore, I'm not bothered, hindered, hampered by what other people think or what they're going to say or how I'm going to feel. My delight is in your word. That enables him to be a bold, courageous witness. Even before kings, I will speak of your testimonies. What a wonderful thing, isn't it? And the fourth thing, verse 48, a driven, passionate life of worship. Look at verse 48. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. And there we see the same thing, right? If there's one thing we could probably all agree on, we might have various and varying lists of things that we would like to pursue or accomplish or attain or see or whatever in 2017, but probably somewhere on our list, there's probably something very similar that means something up like growing in our worship. To worship more, to be more faithful in a life of worship. And here we see again, this driven, passionate life of worship is pointing us back to the Lord as we find Him and hear Him and see Him in His Word. That's where it's at. Now let me make this final observation, and we'll conclude and go into our time of communion with Christ. You know, you look at these four things, right? To respond rightly. To live holy. To share the gospel. And to worship with all of our might. There's something about those four things that probably some version of one or more of those show up somewhere on our list of New Year's, spiritual New Year's resolutions. And the key to them all is the Word. It's the Word of God. As the Word takes hold of our lives will take hold of these things. And so really at the forefront of our new year of 2017, of our spiritual resolution, is maybe to pray for a great love and a great devotion, a great commitment to the Word of God in our lives. Not mechanical. Not in some mechanical way. We don't leave and we've got a lot of mechanics to help us do this. In your bulletin, you'll find a list of places you can go to find all kinds of Bible reading plans. And I would love for you all to, before this day is over, have a plan before you of how you're going to daily invest the Word into your life. That's great. We treasure the Word together with these verses, and we hand out cards, and we try to remind and say this together to try to let that soak and meditate and enrich our hearts and our minds, but not mechanically. In other words, what the psalmist is not saying here is what some of us naturally default to is, okay, what the pastor means is, I need to read my Bible, I need to memorize a few scriptures, I need to go to a few Bible study classes, and so I'll just force myself to do those things this year, and I'll be okay. And what happens is, we lose every bit of this other that the psalmist is talking about. All of this loving the Word and bold witness and abiding by the law, and all of this doesn't happen because we can make it just mechanical. How do we keep it from being mechanical? There are many opportunities for us to pour here in our church. There are many opportunities. The plans in your bulletin, the treasuring verses, the Sunday morning classes, the Bible studies, the shepherd groups, the sermons. There are many ways, and there are many ways outside. Many ways for you to expose your life to the Word and the Word to shine its light in your heart this year. But how do we do it in such a way as it's not mechanical? I think we go back to verse 41. And this is our treasuring verse, so it's a good place to go back to and rest. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Here's what we must do. Remember, in all the mechanics of the plans and the verses and the cards and the studies and the whatever it may be, that it's not doing those things that we are seeking. It's that in those things we might be able to see the Lord more, to hear from the Lord more, to be changed and exposed to the Lord more. It's His steadfast love. It's Him that we seek, His promise. These are just ways to get there. But they're every single one of them rooted in His Word. May we be people of the Word in 2017. Let's pray. Prepare our hearts for this meal together. Father in heaven, would You so move in us to cause us to desire to magnify Your Word in our lives, and to not stop at the checklist, Father, but that our goal and our aim and our desire be You. And that's why we read the Word daily, that we might spend time with You. That's why we treasure verses in our hearts, that we might know more of You. May You and Your salvation and Your love and Your promises and Your truth, Your hope be our everything. We ask in Christ's name.